You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast. It is our post-Elimination Chamber show.
Uh-huh.
Al, John, and Steven here. And wow. How about that show? Are we going to expect to see two pay-per-views quality type of events a month from the WWE Network from here on out?
That was definitely a pay-per-view quality event in every way. Some of the matches weren't... Some of the matches completely knocked my socks off in a way that, you know, may end up possibly being historical. You know, I would go so far as to say that some of them were disappointing. Some of them had flaws. Some of them were really, really, really good. So all in all, another pretty good show. Yeah,
not too shabby.
Surprising.
Not too shabby. We're in the midst of this, we're actually rewatching the kickoff show, which they bring out our favorite underdog, Jabron. Zack Ryder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
replaying the Entourage angle.
I'll say this. Pre-show kickoff, Daniel Bryan says it is not the end.
Well, that's good news. If you get Daniel Bryan back in time for WrestleMania season, so let's say he comes back around Christmas, everything will be copacetic. You know, everything's good to go. Again, we've talked about this a lot of different times. He needs to change his style. Mm-hmm. There's no use this happening over and over again. And I think those rugged bumps, he needs to just do away with them. And I think he just needs to – I just think he needs to take a different approach when he comes back, because it's lost him a great deal of money and lost him a lot of heat and things of that nature.
People lose faith in people if they keep on coming back and getting injured and injured and injured. And it's like,
right,
why do I need to buy this guy's shirt if he's never going to be on TV?
And look at the two things they've had to deal with. Rusev being off the tour, and they've had to deal with Bryan being off the tour, you know, for the house show schedules, the TV shows, the pay-per-views.
They were supposed to be your torchbearers, basically.
Torchbearers and main event matches for house shows. So, you know, they've had to put their best foot forward with what they had. I think they definitely did that tonight with a big win from a new guy.
Right. Definitely. You know, that was an interesting moment. Going back to our picks, let's first start off with, let's see what first match we have to
deal with. We had the big old tag title match.
Oh, the tag match. So, last week on the show, I mentioned the fact that it's going to be interesting to see this match and to see if they can reach the kind of Destination X quality TNA 2010 type of.
Careful what year you pick for TNA quality.
I'm thinking. So anyway, yes, between the whole Yeah,
it was there. They tried some really scary spots. Kalisto tried an incredibly dangerous spot.
I couldn't believe that.
It sort of ended
up. Wait for it.
Wait a couple more minutes.
Seemed
like it took them 5 or 10 minutes to actually get themselves kind of set to. I mean, it was literally 4 or 5 seconds. That's the first time I've watched pay-per-view this year with the WWE, at least, where I legitimately was frightened for someone's well-being. I thought, boy, he's taking quite a chance with this. He essentially climbed to the top of the cage and was up there for quite a while trying to get himself positioned right.
I was looking at having someone take that type of bump.
Right.
You know? And there were a couple interesting ones. There was they did like the tower type of fall from the top rope.
Right, they did the top triple suplex.
Yeah. But they did an interesting spot, and you said, I've never seen this. You've never seen this spot before. But it was a 3-on-4 suplex.
Two tag teams suplex the three New Day
members. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. My Booker T math is getting in the way.
Now, let's see. You got four guys.
Yes.
No, it was a really, really good match. Mm. It wasn't one of the best matches of the year. It wasn't the best match in the pay-per-view, but it was excellent, actually.
It set the tone.
For setting the tone, exactly. Yeah. So it really, you know, I wasn't surprised to see New Day go over. I was a little surprised to see the primetime players stay in longer than Kid and Cesaro, who I thought had the crowd on fire. What a great crowd tonight,
too. Man, awesome, and I love the new ring gear, too.
Pretty nice. I mean, they're looking good. You know, I thought the Ascension looked incredible. Oh, wait, I didn't mean to say that. They were in the match, too, though. And
I think they eliminated Kid and Cesaro just to kind of throw one.
No, they didn't eliminate them. They eliminated... I think they eliminated Los Matadors, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Well, yeah. It doesn't Kid and really
Cesaro,
matter.
Yeah, Kid, yeah, it doesn't, doesn't matter. Kid and Cesaro were, I'm pretty sure, eliminated by New Day. No. Darren Young, I think, pinned Cesaro, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right. It was Darren.
But it was a really good match. And I was very pleased with it. The crowd was good. New Day stayed going over. They did the three guys in the pod. So our prediction was correct. They had a pretty damn good match with a lot of really pretty inventive spots, which is hard to do these days with all the things they do with Ring of Honor and all the other federations across the globe. So, yeah, I was very pleased with this match.
Yeah, not too shabby. That leads us to our
Gals. The gals.
Does it leave us to the gals? My goodness me.
Well, they didn't get a lot of time.
No, you had the Bella, Nikki Bella. Did we miss something? Did we not? No, that was it.
No, that was the second match.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's weird, huh?
That is weird. Okay, so you have Nikki Bella versus Naomi versus Paige, triple threat.
Right.
The Divas Championship. And literally within a few minutes.
It was over.
It was over, yeah.
Well, it ended so abruptly. You know, I think the crowd went through ebbs and flows tonight. There were moments where they were really high and really low. And this was one of the lower points. I think they were pretty drained from the, you know, I'm not sure exactly how long the tag match went, but it seemed like it went well over 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think they were just a little down. Paige came out with a really cool new outfit. I really did like her new look and everything. And I thought, you know, they did a couple of botched spots here and there, but, you know, just to end with, you know, another Bella victory was really a letdown. And I'm not sure where everything kind of was leading to.
I think it looks like they're treading water.
The four horsewomen need to just come in and just take over Nexus style. Just say the Divas are out. We're the new Divas.
They might as well. It seems like they're building to that. You know, it looks like the NXT Divas are all going to come up maybe at the same time and kick somebody's ass.
Somebody's going to get their ass kicked if they've been on a real losing streak lately as far as match quality. Ever since AJ left, they had the brief moment where Naomi was looking okay. I thought Naomi was probably going to take this. I believe you predicted it as well, and I think we predicted it not only because we like her work, but also because we figured this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they have other plans, you know.
Fantasy booking time. Here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So what if you were right, the Money in the Bank, that maybe Monday night they actually get taken over with some kind of Nexus kind of angle where the four horsemen hand out a beatdown.
Well, they deserve a beatdown. They haven't been working very well.
Yeah, because Evan and you got 4-on-4 for Money in the Bank because the four horsemen women, you've got Sasha Banks, you've got Bayley, give me a hug, Bayley, you've got Charlotte, and then you've got Becky Lynch, the fiery redhead.
Yes.
Yes.
Steampunk. And then they fight.
They have blue pants. They have blue pants come in. I love blue pants. Why do they bring back blue pants?
I don't know.
She's gonna be the El Torito of the four horsewomen. Oh, she's the J.J. Dillon of the four horsewomen.
J.J. Dillon. Yeah. We forgot to mention real quick that Torito had that incredible spot
from
the top of the cage. She actually had the best spot of the match.
Yeah, Torito.
He went down to the cage and then on to the two of them, they did another, and then he did another spot into the corner with Cesaro. It was great. It was the best spot of the match, so.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, whatever.
four-on-four woman match sounds really fun, Al John.
It just seems to, by the way, it just seems to me, going back on that tag team match, that every tag team now needs to have three people in it, so it's fair.
I feel the same way.
Freebird rules. We were talking about that a little bit during the pay-per-view, about right. Freebird rules, exactly. Uh-huh. You know, and it seems to me like, you know, if you're going to have three people in a stable defend the tag team belts at any time that you're going to go down the ring, you have to determine who those two people are before you defend the belts. You can't do it in midstream and then all of a sudden three people are there or someone walks out or whatever the case is. Cause, yeah. You know, anyway.
Just remember the rules were initiated probably by Bill Watts, but the reason they did it is because Michael Hayes wasn't that great of a worker. And so you have Buddy Roberts and Terry Gordy who are awesome. And then when you need the payoff and see Michael Hayes get in the big main event, no matter if it's in Dallas or Louisiana, wherever they were running, or Charlotte, then he would come in and do it. That's why they had the Freebird rule, so they could put him in and out, because he was so great in the mic, so great as a leader, but he wasn't a great worker.
That's right.
You know,
he learned along the way, but you know.
Not that Xavier Woods is like that, you know, but that's what the Freebird rules really are, and that's what they really mean.
And if there's any, well, if anyone was going to, well, this is, I'm going to just stop off that track.
Let's talk about the Freebirds match from 82.
Let's move on. Let's move on. And by the way, the Ask Lana segment, great.
Yeah, she's looking.
Good Lord.
She's looking great.
Dear Lord, that white 15 power
miles
suit.
Away.
15 miles away from
me. She lives 15 miles away from me.
Nice. Nice. Not bad. All right. Where are we at?
My friend sees her at the airport every week.
Nice. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he is too. John Cena against Kevin Steen.
Owens.
Kevin Owens.
Wow.
Blew my mind. Matt, I don't want to say it's the best match I've seen this year. But it's one of the best matches I've seen this year.
Can I put it in my fave five if I'm Booker T?
Five time. Blew me away. I was expecting it to be great, and about 10 minutes in, I thought this is really great. This is going great. The crowd's hot. Another 5 minutes went in, and I said, you know what? No matter if he wins or loses, he's got himself over.
Yeah.
And then another 5 minutes, incredible near falls.
Cat-like quickness on Owens' part.
Unbelievable. A
couple really cool suplexes. And
top rope moonsaults.
Top rope swanton from Owens.
Unbelievable.
A couple interesting springboard moves from Cena.
Cena was totally game, doing all kinds of spots I haven't seen him do in quite a while. He was really ready for this match.
Top rope guillotine leg drop.
Yeah, yeah. Like Psicosis.
Exactly like Psicosis. You know,
I mean, it wasn't bad.
Not as good as Psicosis, but he had some good hang time.
Well, it wasn't even a guillotine. He actually did it while he was bent over, which is extremely dangerous. They did all kind of great stuff on this. Okay. He did a springboard stunner off, jumping off the ropes like a Japanese wrestler, man.
Yeah,
and he was going all out.
He actually did a springboard flying fist as well, which was interesting.
Yeah. I was shocked at the match. It just shows you that, you know, as much as the internet wrestling community puts down John Cena, and I agree that he had terrible matches in 2005 and 6 and 7 and 8.
He was building himself.
But you know, if he went, he did a Ring of Honor level worked match in a WWE setting with a huge crowd, not a 1,000 or 800 person Ring of Honor crowd, did the same type of match with the Ring of Honor guy, Kevin Steen, yes. Kevin Owens, whoever. Whichever name you want to go by.
Steen, if you're trying to sell Steen action figures.
And Steen and Kevin. Yeah, Steen. Yeah, buy their action figures.
Ring of Honor, buy Ring of Honor.
Help them become the number three promotion. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. I'll say it.
They'd be the better number three promotion. I mean, I don't know. Maybe more people. I don't know. Kevin Owens totally came to the plate and knocked it out the park. They said, here, we're giving you opportunity. And you know what? I really have a lot of faith in Kevin Owens more than almost anybody in that roster.
And how about that end of match promo?
Another killer promo.
Oh, my gosh. He swung for the fence.
Let me give you a little veteran advice.
Oh.
You know, the way you're making him seem like, look, don't put down what I've done before this, because I've done all kinds. And he has
done.
And
they never in WWE, they rarely. Ever talk about anything any superstar has done outside of WWE.
Well, you know, when Triple H and Stephanie were looking at the monitor and Ron watching Owens and saying, hey, this guy could be something, you know, that's really how they feel back. They would not do that if that wasn't a real thing they felt, and they teased some tension with him and Rollins. Mm-hmm. But don't be surprised at all if Kevin Owens isn't the new guy like Seth Rollins is. because Seth Rollins eventually will feud with Triple H, and it won't be that far off. I don't think it'll be as soon as SummerSlam, like I've heard rumored. But I think it, I think, you know, they're definitely teasing something happening, and Kevin Owens might be the authority guy. You know,
maybe he may be, as quirky as it may sound, the new face of, well, you know.
It blew me away. You know, it's about, you asked me what matches do you rewatch, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I bought the Lawler DVD really so I could have the Terry Funk match on Blu-ray and the Ric Flair match on Blu-ray and some other stuff too, because I want to rewatch that. I'd rewatch the WrestleMania main event, I said. Whatever the February pay-per-view was called, I'd rewatch that main event, okay? Kota Ibushi against Shinsuke Nakamura. Right. That's how you say his name.
Yeah, it's from last week.
I said his name wrong, and I apologize to his family. Please don't kick me. Please don't kick me in the back of the head as hard as you can.
Please don't. It's illegal in UFC.
But this match, I would rewatch this match just like this. This match was on that level. Yeah, those are the five matches I've seen this year that blew me away, and tonight was another one.
Yeah,
he
totally
brought
rewatch
it.
That.
Brought it.
Once again, the WWE Network is playing in the background, and I hate to say this again, but once again, IWC, I told you so, Stone Cold Steve Austin is best for business.
Always
Stone
best
Cold
for
podcast.
Business.
It's going to be an awesome piece of work. Was it next week or this week?
I thought it was the first, or is it the seventh with Heyman?
Well, then it's going to be tomorrow after Raw.
I thought it was tomorrow after Raw. Okay. If I'm wrong,
it'll be good. It'll be awesome. So yes, awesome match. I'm still not a big fan of people kicking out of other people's finished moves in rapid succession.
They've done it over and over this last few years.
John Cena sent out an Instagram the other day that said, "You want to know why I'm kicking out of you from different finishing moves? It's because I can do this." And he was bench lifting a crap ton of weight.
Sure, 900 pounds.
And I understand, and I understand that, but still, I know you're trying to build tension, but do it from a really spectacular team. What was it? Kevin actually tried to do do the fireman's carry, the John Cena.
The double A, the attitude adjustment, everything you call it.
Yeah.
No, it was a fine match, and I was thoroughly pleased, and I hope this sets a precedent for Owens going forward. He's the new guy they need to push in there.
Awesome.
Looks like they are, too.
Totally. Totally.
Made a star tonight. Bo Dallas versus Neville.
Yeah, we were expecting to have a little bit of a rivalry rekindled from NXT, which, by the way, if you look back on the NXT rivalry between the two, awesome matches between the two. Mm-hmm. Didn't give them a whole lot of time, but I believe it was a glimpse of some of what they used to bring to NXT.
Right. It was a fine match. I think if you paired it to their NXT matches, it would have been just about as close.
How about the placement?
Well, they got a tough spot. They probably should have put them second instead of the women's match. The women's match, as much as I hate to say it, probably should have gone here.
That's true, but they want to make sure women matter. They want to make sure the women matter, so they decided to give this.
They did not do that for them tonight. No,
they didn't do many.
They had a guy literally like this. They were showing camera shots at the end of the Cena match, so they were shocked at the ending. Dallas and Neville didn't have a lot to work with crowd-wise. Neville, no matter what the internet community says, is not extremely over with the crowd. He's over a little bit. So he was in a tough position. They didn't really ever get the crowd heat going too much. There was a fine match. It wasn't anything at all wrong with it. And, you know, he hit the red dragon. the red arrow. It's different.
And red. They actually started showing red on his intro video.
Yeah, that's funny. You probably pointed out they should show more red. But, I mean, every week he comes out, I just feel like the crowd understands more and more what I feel like. There's something.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
No, it's just like, I'm not going to put him down anymore because they've de-pushed him to the level he was going to be at.
Did you get some comments on the internet about your dislike of Operation Dumbo?
No, but if anybody does have a problem with it, I guess I could kiss my entire ass.
Okay, that's good. Moving on to the IC title chamber match, we have a Sheamus Ziggler versus a Barrett Truth Ryback and our mystery opponent.
Must not special enough,
Mr. Mark Henry, sexual chocolate.
Okay, I tell you what, I didn't see that coming. First of all, they waited till the bitter end to pull Rusev out. So when did they do it? Around 2 or 3 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. And we knew he was out before then.
After we did our podcast, I rewatched SmackDown very, very, very alertly. Well, actually, we recorded it the night before, so I didn't. I watched on DVR, and I watched. I'm like, where is he? It was obvious. It was the spot, and they showed it where he goes over the top rope and he lands on his foot. And by the way, if he wore boots, that probably wouldn't have happened. So really bad timing with that happening. And you can say that this Owens match directly correlated to Rusev getting hurt, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The match was weird. Mark Henry was not a good enough suitable replacement. I told you, but they had Ryback go over. Mm-hmm. I think they did that for the crowd, equal or lesser babyface win kind of thing. So in this case, it was Daniel Bryan being replaced by Ryback in the long run. Now, Ryback deserves a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got it. And he does have some sort of crowd heat, and he does have ability. I'm not sure if this is the right direction to go, but that's what they've chosen to do.
Now, you picked, I think we picked Sheamus.
I picked Sheamus, and he was going to win.
And I picked Ryback.
Until the last.
Did I not pick Ryback? I said.
Gee, I'm not sure about that.
Or did I pick Sheamus?
You said Ryback or Sheamus.
I never picked Ryback.
I did not pick Ryback. I meant that.
So I think I said I will probably end up joining you and talking Sheamus. However, the poster is very telling.
You told me the poster said it would be Ryback.
The poster will tell you who's going to go over.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so it's going to be Ryback. Now the takeaway from this match is, yes, there were some good spots here and there. There was that kind of weird situation with the chamber pod not opening up for Sheamus, that he had a Jimmy open with his Celtic cross or something like that.
The weirdest spot was Mark Henry standing around not knowing what to do. I don't know if anyone noticed, he was just standing there in hard camera view. They're doing spots.
And he's like ready for something.
He makes a cover. I think Barrett made a cover and he broke up the pin. And it's like, why are you breaking up a pin? You want people to be eliminated so you have a better chance of winning. I thought Henry looked just utterly terrible in this.
He may not have been prepped properly.
He was obviously told today that he was going to do it. I don't know who else they had in mind, but I don't know why they didn't just... I'd heard it was going to be Wyatt. You know how they get upset. I didn't think Wyatt was a good replacement. He's got a different sort of thing going on. But
and they're not going to break from their plan.
They put in a dummy, basically, spot.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't you put, and they had Ryder and Stardust go do the pre-show. So I was going to say, why don't you just put Stardust in there? But they went pre-show with that, so...
I think they wanted a surprise. I think he is a surprise.
Maybe.
But
I would have put Luke Harper in that role.
I don't know. I just said that I wasn't really interested in how they built this matchup. I was disappointed in this one. It got kind of hot toward the end. Sheamus and Ziggler and Ryback portion kind of at the very end. They got rid of Henry, which was great. And I knew Truth was going to get pinned early. He was. Barry got pinned, I think, first, which was a little surprising. They really are just jobbing him out like a Jay Brown.
Yeah.
I have no idea why he won King of the Ring.
Doesn't make any damn sense.
It is what it is. But it got pretty hot at the end. I thought Sheamus would take the victory, and Ryback just kind of did his – well, they did a really cool spot where, Sheamus was locked in the pod. Now, I think this was just an angle because certainly if somebody wouldn't use their cross. First of all, I don't know what good Irish Catholic boy uses their cross to get out of a chamber, first of all.
Well, I guess any way means necessary.
I guess so, but that's not what you do with the cross. No. I don't care if you want to enter the match.
Well, there you go.
You have to wait for the riggers and people like that to figure
or
it out.
Or just break through the glass.
What was that all about? Why did they do that?
I don't know. It was just really stupid and strange. It was very strange. So, I don't know.
If that was real, great. If it wasn't real, great. I don't know. But
it is a heelish move to kind of, just hang around in the chamber, Maybe I don't know. Maybe we'll find out some more hidden footage later that shows him messing with the pod.
I might have to rewatch that. I'd hate to rewatch that. It wasn't that bad, but I didn't really. I was disappointed in it.
I will tell you this: the more and more as the weeks continue, Dolph Ziggler becomes the embodiment of a hot topic.
He's just looking sillier every week.
Just looking more and more like he belongs.
The older you get, you have have to dress to your age, okay? Al John and I happen to be in our early 20s. And we dress, but we dress like we're in our late 30s.
I love that. I love that.
Okay, that's how we dress.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Seth versus Dean for the title.
Great match. Yeah. Dusty finish.
Dusty finish.
What are you going to do?
How about them apples?
I don't know. I was enjoying the match a lot when he won the belt.
I was getting flashbacks of WCW.
Yeah, I felt like it was like Dusty had the title and then, you know, the second ref bump and they took Dusty's title and Ric Flair still had the belt. That's how it felt.
Mm.
I guess it's okay to do. They were moving at a fast clip.
They really were.
They had some cardio going in that one, buddy. They were impressed. I was like, Ambrose has got some cardio, man, because I know Rollins does from his Tyler Black days, but man.
There was really good spots. There was really good fire, good energy in the match. A couple times, was it Iron Sheik, according to, was it Michael, or was it JBL that said something like, the Iron Sheik tweeted J-Brone and J-Brone Security.
I coined that phrase months ago.
Yeah, it was
nice. I did.
Maybe Sheik is paying attention to our wrestling show.
I can only pray to God that that's
that would be happened. Amazing.
Well, the Iron Sheik, you know, we've always wanted to review the Iron Sheik's movie, and we've tried two times, and we never did it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did we miss out on it?
We never reviewed
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to review the Iron Sheik's movie.
We'll have to.
Sheiky Baby, it's such a good movie.
He's so much more than the character he basically plays on Twitter and YouTube and those shoot interviews. I mean, he's an extremely interesting person. Mm-hmm. That being said, I thought it was a really good main event. Yeah, it was a dusty finish. I mean, that's the way it's going to go in the book.
I will watch this match again. It's a fantastic match. Really awesome fire. Great pacing, I thought. It definitely the last 10 minutes were definitely just ratcheted up. It was really, right. Really good effort between the two, and the fact that they teased the title switch.
Well, the crowd popped like they wanted him to insane. Win the belt. That's why you do a dusty finish to sort of test things sometimes. And he left with the title belt, so I expect them to do a rematch at the next pay-per-view that's just in 2 weeks. They've already announced they're doing a Money in the Bank match with Ziggler and a bunch of people. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. It was like everyone in the chamber matched, but not three of them and three more or something like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens during Money in the Bank, only 2 weeks away, which leads me to figure out what the rest of the pay-per-view schedule is going to be and how many of these two-week pay-per-views we're going to be getting.
So maybe they'll do two a month now.
That's nuts.
Well, they kind of have. They did King of the Ring.
Yep.
Right after, what was it?
Payback.
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules, yeah.
Payback, Money in the Bank right at the end of the month. And then you got two. Now you got
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. I'm in Elimination Chamber. Oh, it's obviously chamber. What we've been watching on this TV
show. It's a long night, guys.
It's been a long night.
It's been a long weekend.
Yeah, I think they'll do two a month, you know, to some degree. You know, they put something on. What they learned is, besides me and you and blogger Scott Keith, no one's watching the old footage. Matches, everyone's watching new stuff. They're watching podcasts with Jericho and Austin, and they're watching Tough Enough. And are watching Raw on the pay-per-views. Therefore, they feel like they have to put on new stuff. I think they're doing an excellent job of bringing new things on. I'm excited to have extra pay-per-views. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm not like I have to pay $55 to watch it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're converting their house shows into actual events, which is interesting.
Yeah, and they're keeping their house shows cool. And, you know, the big news out of this, basically, for me, is this. Daniel Bryan will be back. Mm-hmm. New Day, still awesome. Mm-hmm. Neville, still a jobber in hiding. Mark Henry, not really a great worker. Kevin Owens, a star.
Made
into a star.
He's a made man, Kevin Owens.
You know, and Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is a big star, too.
Dean Ambrose, future champion.
I like Ambrose. I'm always surprised by him. He's worked his way up.
Whatever. Good mic skills.
When people get injured, he takes advantage of his opportunities. It's just so funny to think of him as John Moxley in the Tournament of Death. as you know, pinning and holding up the title, even though it's a dusty finish.
Should that be match of the week? The
Tournament of Death,
John Moxley.
No, please don't put that up. Kids, don't watch that. It's bad. No, that's not the match of the week.
I'm gonna make that match of the week.
Please don't do that. Well, I'm not watching it.
All right.
I'm too scared.
There was also a bunch of really cool interaction between the former Shield members. I mean,
yeah,
I'm watching once again pre-show, and Eden Styles has got Reigns and Ambrose together, and they were kind of doing a bunch of these old Shield kind of backstage interviews and things.
Something seems to work with his vibe changes when he's around
Ambrose.
He seems to get more relaxed and become that guy again that did. I don't know. There's something to that. They figured something out with that.
He feels like a normal dude.
He is a normal dude.
He talks a normal dude, which is good, because you want him to be relaxed, cool, like the cool, relaxed Samoan. That's the kind of thing that The Rock does backstage better than anyone. Just the fact that his interactions are really cool, very smooth. Not forced and definitely not overacted.
He's a cool, relaxed Samoan in real life. That's what he is. So they've keyed into that. You know, Lesnar will be back in a couple of weeks, and you'll have to wonder if Rollins will ever get his title. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think Reigns will ever get his title. I don't think Rollins will have his title long after that.
The real test is who's going to be the title holder during Survivor Series. Because the Survivor Series is going to be like it's usually the transition champion era time.
Might be Owens. It's
right between Survivor Series and
I had a guy text this to me right after we watched it.
Okay.
Survivor Series main event.
Okay.
Kevin Owens versus Lesnar for the belt.
Oh Jesus!
How about that?
Anything's possible at this point. We just have to see how much heat is gained between now and then. We'll have to see.
NXT is a blessing. It's been proven this year more than ever.
Yeah, and I think too, it's also interesting to note how the fans, even casual fans, are being turned on to NXT because of how big and loud the chants are for these superstars. They're like, maybe I should check out NXT because everyone likes NXT. And I guess that'll be interesting to see if people really do tune in NXT live on Wednesday nights.
I think a lot of people do, and I think a lot more people will, and I think they'll do house shows by next year all over the country. That'll be well drawn, and I think that they are the top. You know, I don't know why Triple H decided he wanted the top indie federation, but that's exactly what he did, because he realized his wrestlers come from the indies. So he's like, well, let's make the top indie federation. Listen to the Kevin Owens podcast with Chris Jericho, guys out there, if you get a chance. He'll talk a little bit about the developmental. Here's Kevin Steen from Ring of Honor, the monster, held their belt for years, basically had the company on his back in a kind of a weird period after they lost everyone who went on to become TNA and WWE main eventers. And, you know, he was sitting there watching people train. You know, that's what they do. They everyone comes in. He talks about it. They come in and they go through the system no matter who they are. And obviously a guy like that will become bigger quicker than someone who's just sort of training for the first time that looks good and they just want to put through their training facility. But whatever it is, they figured out a way to get – they don't have a bad tag on them like CM Punk did. They're like, ah, he's a Ring of Honor guy. Ah, he does indies. He's really annoying. They can't say that about Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens went through their system. Nobody can put that tag on him now because they don't know Kevin Steen. They know Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens is a star.
That's right. On that note, let's wrap things up. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to check out ProWrestlingCast.com. Also, check out our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, the webcast, of course, here on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Be sure to do that as well. And shop at ProWrestlingCast.com. Amazon, High Spots, movie tickets through Fandango, Blu-ray, DVD, wrestling shoot, interviews with High Spots, so much more, ProWrestlingCast.com. That has been our Aftermath show, Elimination Chamber in the can. We'll see you guys. Oh, the tears are falling. let's see. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bockwinkel.
For life.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
I'm receiving some sort of transmission.
Routed through the main system.
Routing.
Looking to take a Disney vacation or cruise? Contact Kristen of MagicalJourneysVacations.com. Magical Journeys is an authorized Disney vacation planner. Kristen will get you the best price available and continue to search for deals until the day you travel, taking the worry out of planning your fantastic vacation. Kristen can help plan your dining reservations and answer any questions you may have. She'll even send you maps from the parks. So contact Kristen of Magical Journeys for your next cruise or Disney vacation, and you'll be supporting WDW Tiki Room. Contact Kristen of Magical Journeys at MagicalJourneysVacations.com. And mention Sorcerer Radio. So what are you waiting for? Book today at MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Wow, that sounds great. I want to go.
Well, you can't.
Why not?
Because we have to stay at our posts and keep rebel scum like him out.
Book today at MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, video games, and comic books? Or are you looking for some ideas on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Eric on Mighty Marvel Geeks every Saturday night on Sorcerer Radio and every Sunday on the Weeby Geeks Network for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.